This is the Neighborhood Conversations Podcast. Today's episode was originally recorded on March 24th, 2024.
I am really, really glad to be here. It's the last Sunday of the Color Purple series. We are celebrating Women's History Month. It is Palm Sunday. And I'm here to share the message that God has given me with you. And so I'm grateful to Pastor Andy and Pastor Angie for inviting me to be here and that you consider me a neighbor amongst neighbors. I want to acknowledge my family. I got some family in the room. I got some friends in the room. They are here with me. I love y'all. Thank y'all. And I got my TFC family here. TFC's in the room. TFC is online. I saw him in the comments. So shout out to my church family and my chosen and given family. I am grateful for all of y'all. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to the book of Mark. We're going to go to the 11th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. Again, that's the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. In the Inclusive Bible, the text reads this way. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks across his back, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the field. And everyone around Jesus, in front or in back of him, cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is the coming reign of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Let us pray. All-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving God, I come to you today thanking you for this day and another opportunity to share your message with your people. I ask that you would allow your spirit to embolden within me to say what it is that you've given me to say with clarity and confidence. I pray that you allow all of us gathered in this sacred space to have open hearts, listening ears, and receptive minds. It's these and all things we ask in your name. Amen, and Ashe. So I was scrolling on Instagram last week, as I tend to pretty much do every day now, because that's how this goes. And I ran across a clip of what appeared to be a podcast, and it's really been sitting with me. So the person in the video was talking about a conversation they had with their therapist. They said they were at a low point in their life and they couldn't seem to shake this down feeling. They said they felt like they didn't have any control over their life and it made them really uncomfortable. They told the therapist that the highs felt really, really high and the lows felt really, really low. It's like they were on this seesaw with their emotions. Things were either going extremely well or things were going extremely terrible. And sometimes they just wish this life could be in the middle, to be steady, to be flat, to exist in the middle. And they said that therapists responded to these feelings by inviting them to think about life like a heart monitor. If you look at a heart monitor, it's constantly going up and down, up and down, up and down. These ups and downs serve as proof of life. She said, if you were in control and trying to regulate things, you would want everything to be in the middle. But in the middle would mean you flatlined, flatlined. The proof of life would no longer be there. So the therapist reminded them that the highs and lows are just a part of life. And when you're at a low point in life, it's a reminder that the high points are coming. And when you're experiencing the high points, it's a reminder that inevitably the low moments will also follow. The ebbs and flows, the highs and lows are all proof of life. This visual about the EKG resonated with me as I thought about my own life, but it also reminded me of the life of the character Seeley from The Color Purple. I know that for the past 6 weeks, as a congregation, you all have been journeying together to explore the themes of resilience and joy, drawing on inspiration from Alice Walker's The Color Purple. And so whether you read the book when it originally came out, saw the movie when it hit theaters in the 80s, went to see the Broadway adaptation in New York City, or saw the 2023 musical, which some people didn't know was a musical, you know, you know that Seeley's life was full of ups and downs. Seeley is a poor, uneducated 14-year-old Black girl living in rural Georgia. As a young girl, she's constantly subjugated to abuse and told that she was ugly. Her life is marked by hardship and suffering. She's separated from her beloved sister, Nettie, and is forced to endure the harsh realities of being a Black woman in the American South during the early 20th century. I believe that if we pay attention to the story of her life, if we pay attention to her lived experiences, she can show us what it looks like when the divine meets us in the form of strength and resilience. So if I had to tag a title to the message today, it would be Divine Resilience. As we mentioned earlier, life comes with its ups and downs. So some of them are personal, some of them are communal, some of them are societal. Every day when we scroll on social media, turn on the news, take a trip to the grocery store, we are surrounded by examples of life doing what life does. As I often tell my friends, life be life. I want to drop a pin here to make sure it's clear that I'm not saying God sends these really high moments and these really low moments as a way of making us draw nearer to God. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that these ups and downs, these ebbs and flows are simply a part of life, and God is there to take this journey with us. Strength and resilience are tools we need to survive our everyday lives, not something God uses to manipulate us into relationship. So when I was working on this message, it was important for me to think about it through the perspective of resilience. Not specifically strength, but a little bit more resilience. I think oftentimes in society, we're encouraged to embody an unhealthy amount of strength. And so Merriam-Webster defines resilience as an ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. So in other words, we have to be flexible. Sometimes that flexibility doesn't look like strength in a traditional sense. Sometimes we need to come undone. We need safe spaces to cry. We need people to lean on. We need communities and resources around us that leave room for us to say, I'm not okay. We have to acknowledge our feelings. We have to feel our feelings. And once it's time to decide what we do with these feelings, that's where resiliency comes into play. When we take a look at what has happened to us, what has happened around us, what is happening within us, and we begin to think through how we recover from or adjust to our new reality. How can we be flexible? This flexibility takes me back to Seeley. Seeley takes the act of sewing, which is traditionally thought of as a mere chore for women who are confined to a domestic role, and turns it into an outlet for creative self-expression. The first place Seeley experiences divine resilience is within herself. I'm reminded of the song Miss Seeley's Pants from the 2023 musical version of the movie. Some of the lyrics of the song say, All I need's a needle and a spool of thread. Got about a million patterns in my head. All the ladies' legs are gonna love to dance when they in Miss Seeley's pants. So this song expresses Seeley's empowerment and independence as she starts her own business of making pants for women in her community. She changes the cloth, the print, the waist, the pockets, creating styles that make women feel like queens. After being voiceless for so many years, she is finally content, fulfilled, and self-sufficient. She has embodied divine resilience. This part of the story reminds me of a saying that I'm sure many of us here are familiar with. When life gives you lemons. Yes, so this is a proverbial phrase used to encourage optimism and a positive can-do attitude in the face of adversity and misfortune. Lemons suggest sourness or difficulty in life, and making lemonade is turning them into something positive or desirable. But can I tell y'all an honest truth? Can I share a secret with you? I don't like that saying. It makes the assumption that we have all of the other ingredients and materials needed to make lemonade. Life gave me lemons. Did it give me water? Did it give me sugar? Did it give me ice? Do I have a knife? Do I have a measuring cup? A pitcher? A refrigerator? If all life gave me was lemons, all I have is sour. All I have is lemons. Where can I find the rest of these ingredients? And so it reminds me of how my elders often say that back in the day, we knew our neighbors. We lived in a community where we could go down the street and ask for a cup of sugar. We could have borrowed a pitcher from someone down the street. We could count on our community to fill in the missing pieces. And that takes me back to Seeley. Seeley found divine resiliency within herself, but not on her own. The second place Miss Seeley experiences divine resilience is within her community. There are so many examples of this within the movie, but the one that stands out the most to me is during the song that MJ so beautifully sang for us earlier, "I'm Here." Some of the lyrics of the song say, "I've got my sister. I can feel her now. She may not be here, but she's still mine." It goes on to say, "I got my children. I can't hold them now. They may not be here, but they're still mine." And then she goes on to say, "I believe I have inside of me everything that I need to live a bountiful life. And all the love alive in me, I'll stand as tall as the tallest tree." Seeley experienced divine resilience in her community. She got to believing she had everything she needed inside of her, but not without acknowledging her sister, not without acknowledging her children. And then if we think about the other members of Seeley's community, she had Sophia. She had her sister girlfriends. During the film, they cry together, they laugh together, they affirm life together, and share one another's joys and pains. They provide the sugar and the water for the lemons life has given her. The strength of these women in their caring for one another offer opportunities for all three of them to continue growing, despite the racist, sexist world they live in. Now, we could pause here and talk about how we still live in a very racist and sexist world, but that's not where this sermon is going, so I'll just leave that for you to think about. They live together in a world that Seeley could have never imagined when she was 14. In fact, in a world that she never could have imagined until, ironically, her husband brought home his mistress. never did Albert imagine the mental and physical sense of new health that Suge Avery would bring to Seeley. Because of Suge, because of Sophia, Seeley was able to triumph and triumph joyfully. She met God in her community, and God loved her fiercely. This experience of design resilience found in the community reminds me of a conversation I had last week. So I was at a conference last weekend, and one of my favorite parts of going to conferences is the reflective conversations that we get to have in between the workshops and after the plenary sessions. And so I was talking with one of my friends about what was the most impactful moment of the conference, which part really stood out to me. And I told her that after reflecting, it finally clicked for me that leaning into my community was not the same as me being a burden to them. It was another opportunity for me to experience God. My community, and by leaning into them, was another opportunity for me to experience God. What it has taught me is that the importance of leaning on my community, the importance of leaning on my people, my chosen family, my given family, people who can remind me of myself, people who can remind me of my strength, people who can remind me of my resilience. So now don't hear me. There's still, you know, we still have to do our own work, right? Your community is not going to do all of the things for you. You still need to go to therapy. You still need to write in your journal. You still need to do your own things. You still need to do your own work. But what I'm saying is we have our community there to serve as gentle reminders of who we are, how we show up, and how to be the best versions of ourselves. And so at this part in the sermon, you might be wondering, well, girl, you've been talking a long time. Where is Jesus? I mean, it is Palm Sunday, right? Where's Jesus? I'm so glad you asked. So if you go back to the text that I read earlier here in the book of Mark, we encounter the story of Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. And Pastor Andy and the children did a beautiful illustration of palms and what it looked like to be receiving Jesus earlier. Some scholars suggest that instead of being met by a crowd of Jerusalemites, Jesus actually comes into Jerusalem accompanied by a crowd of pilgrims. Jesus is with people that are supportive of him. They are shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna is the transliteration of a Hebrew word that means save us. However, people have adopted it as a celebratory word or a word of praise. So if we think about it in the same way that we use hallelujah today, it could either be shouted as a prayer or as a word of praise, but it wasn't a name. They were engaging in a communal activity. So I would like to make the case that this Sunday crowd was composed of Jesus's disciples, pilgrims from Galilee, and ordinary people from Jerusalem. In other words, where we find Jesus in this text, he has a community of people surrounding him. And we know what happens as we journey through Holy Week. Jesus is in anticipation of very high highs and very low lows, the extreme realities that life has to offer. And so as Jesus starts this journey, he is surrounded by community. So on this journey through Holy Week, I believe Jesus was embodying divine resilience. Jesus knew he was in for a journey riddled with ups and downs, and he didn't enter that journey alone. Oftentimes, we think we aren't strong or we don't have enough strength because we try to carry everything by ourselves. We are not meant to walk through the heartbreaks and the struggles of life on our own. We are not meant to do life in isolation. We are meant to be surrounded by community. Seeley was surrounded by community. Jesus was surrounded by community. So I want to ask a question of you today. Who is your community? as you think about your life and the ways it continues to throw curveballs, I want to offer what I believe Celie and Jesus have to offer us through their lived experience: divine resilience. So as you navigate the job transitions, embody a divine resilience. As you journey with the grief, embody a divine resilience. As you continue to advocate for a permanent ceasefire, embody a divine resilience. As you continue to wrestle with your faith, embody a divine resilience. As you continue to find your voice, embody a divine resilience. As you think about your own embodiment of divine resilience, I want to leave you with these words by Lucille Clifton. Come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Amen.
Neighborhood Conversations is produced by Neighborhood Church in Atlanta, Georgia. You can learn more about us at neighborhoodchurchatl.com, and on our website you can find links to our weekly live streams. You can find out what's going on in the neighborhood. Find us on social media, and don't forget to subscribe.